The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. In a world where the line between right and wrong has become increasingly blurred, it is of utmost importance that believers are able to stand firmly on the Word of God. Stay tuned as
Elder David Howell
from Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills in Aberdeen, North Carolina, brings us another teaching from the Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, on The Cutting Edge.
In chapter 18 of Genesis, there's a story where these men come and they're welcomed into Abraham and Sarah's home, and it actually is the Lord, the angel of the Lord. It's a Christophany of the Old Testament. And the Lord is actually talking to Sarah, and he says that she's going to bear a son. And since Sarah and Abraham were up in age and both well past the age of childbearing, she laughed. And I think that's when the Lord teased her a little bit. He said, "You're laughing." "No, I'm not." And then the Lord says to her, "Is there anything too hard for the Lord?" And guess what? In the fullness of time, God honored his promise. And at the age of around 90, imagine that, Sarah had a son, the promised son, Isaac. And Sarah's example gives hope to everyone who waits a little late in life to start a family. It's not that Sarah didn't try. Her womb was just on a different biological clock. And Sarah lovingly and carefully raised Isaac. And she was willing to believe God that she would receive strength to bear a son, even though she was well past her age. She was a great hero of the faith. And she's even included in the 11th chapter of Hebrews in that hall of faith. She prayerfully judged God as faithful to his promise. She became the first matriarch of the Jewish people. Sarah, a great woman of God. Jochebed. What a name. Jochebed. I wonder if anybody ever has that nowadays. Jochebed was the mother of Moses. You know the story. Pharaoh was tired of the Hebrew people. He didn't want any more. He wanted to cut off that lineage. And so he asked the handmaidens and the midwives to kill the babies that were male. But Jochebed had a boy. And she decided to hide him. And she hid him for 3 months, but then it got to the point she couldn't hide him any longer. So what did she do? Well, you know the story. She lovingly and carefully fashioned the basket made of bulrushes and waterproofed it. And she put Moses in it, placed him in the river among the reeds by the bank. You see, Jochebed was willing to trust God for the safety of her child, and God honored her faith because Pharaoh's daughter happened along and discovered Moses in the basket. And because of God touching her heart, she had compassion on Moses. And then God honored Jochebed's faith and heard her prayers. And because of Miriam, Moses' sister's quick thinking, Pharaoh's daughter hired Jochebed to be Moses' nurse. And Jochebed gets paid wages to nurse her own child. See how God works. Jochebed is an example that shows the determination and ingenuity of a desperate mother can result in surprising circumstances. Never underestimate what God can do with the loving and caring prayers of a mother willing to do whatever is necessary to claim God's promise for her family. Marty's already mentioned Hannah. Hannah was another great woman of the faith who could not conceive a child. But Hannah was also a woman of prayer. And she made a vow before the Lord that if he would give her a son, that she would give him back to God. And the Lord heard her cry, honored her request. She bore a son. She named him Samuel. "For this child I prayed." And then Hannah lovingly cared for Samuel until he was weaned. And then, according to her vow, she presented Samuel to the Lord. went to the temple, and then she said these words, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord." The example of Hannah reminds us that our children really belong to the Lord. Elijah heard from God one day, and the Lord instructed him to go to a place called Zarephath. If the Lord told me to go to a place named Zarephath, I'm not sure if I'd go there or not, but that's where he went. And the Lord also said to him, "I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So Elijah arose, and when he came to the gate of the city, guess what? He saw a widow outside gathering sticks. So the first thing he did was, "Would you bring me a glass of water?" Well, she obliged him. So after he gets his thirst quenched, he then asked her for a morsel of bread. And that's when she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin, and a little bit of oil. And you can look in the jar and see. And I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I can go in and prepare a last meal for me and my son." So even though she only had a little bit of flour, even though she had a little bit of oil, she was going to still use it, provide for her son. They were going to eat it. And then they were going to see what happens, because they didn't have anything else to eat. Bible says, she says, "Prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat it and die." So she's out there lovingly and carefully gathering sticks for this last meal. But she's willing to trust the man of God and do what God said. She had faith that God would provide, and she trusted in God. And guess what? That bin of flour was never used up. That jar of oil never ran dry until God sent rain and prosperity came back to her house. All because she was willing to trust God. Bathsheba is best known for the scandalous actions of King David regarding her. I mean, their sins well documented. And the effects of David's household was long-lasting. However, she was a mother. And a son was born of that union. And Solomon turned out to be a peaceable ruler whose wisdom was legendary. And in Proverbs 31... what does Solomon do? He records scripture that are the wise sayings of his mother, Bathsheba. It's her instruction to him. And he extols the wisdom of his mother, and he shows us a glimpse into the loving and caring mother that she really was. He uses chapter 31 to illustrate the faith and prayerful life of Bathsheba. Now, there's going to be a lot of sermons today taught on Proverbs 31. That virtuous woman passage found in verses 10 through 31. And those words came to Solomon from Bathsheba. So Bathsheba's motherhood gives women hope that regardless of the circumstances surrounding their pregnancy and the birth of their children, God can redeem any situation. There'll also be a lot of sermons today talked about Mary. You see, Mary was the most unique mother of all history. Imagine raising a perfect child. Well, some of you already do, don't you? Okay, I raised one perfect one, yeah. But she really did raise a perfect child. And many sermons today are going to be extolling the virtues and the example of Mary, the mother of Jesus. You see, when God decided to come to earth, he chose not to come as he did in the Old Testament, like in the fiery furnace, in the burning bush. He could have just come down like he did. No. He chose to have a mother and experience mother love firsthand. Mary was the only mother that was created by her own son. She was also the only mother that was personally chosen by her child. So when God decided to become flesh and blood so that he could bleed, and was made like us so we could be like him, he chose Mary to be his mother. Mary was on board from the beginning. She says, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." You might say Mary was the first to carry the gospel. And so the light became alive, and manna became man, and eternity stepped into time, and Mary bore her son Jesus. And from the start, Mary lovingly and with great care took care of the baby Jesus. You know, she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. And then she sat back like this, like all the mangers show her Christmas time. But as Jesus grew, she cared for him. She instructed him in the ways of God. She made sure that they observed all of the holy things, the rites of a Hebrew child. And she raised him to fulfill his ultimate destiny. And let's not forget the wedding at Cana. Now she knew what he could do. And they were running out of wine. And Jesus kind of, I don't know, he's like, "Oh, come on, Mom, no. I can just see this unfolding." He says, "It's really not time for my ministry to start now. And I, you know, this is not the time or place." But like a typical Jewish mother, she went on anyway. Proceeded on and told people, "Do as he says." You know the story. The miracle, the first miracle of turning the water into wine. And Mary was all up in that. And as Jesus entered into his ministry years, Mary was still in the picture, though now more in the background. But she showed up throughout his years of ministry. She was always a faithful and willing servant of the Lord. No doubt supporting his ministry through constant prayer and supplication to God. And even at the end, when Jesus was on the cross, Mary was there. You see, disciples may scatter. Followers may be in hiding. But a mother stays when the rest of the world walks away. Mary continued in the faith, was counted among the disciples of Jesus, and was even in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. And when the Holy Spirit fell, she was just like the rest of them. She was one of those proclaiming the gospel and praising the Lord. Mary's place in Christendom is unparalleled by any other, and she's rightly revered as a holy and godly example of devout motherhood. One day, Jesus was in the region of Tyre and Sidon, and in the area of Canaan, and there was a woman from that region that came to him crying, saying, "Oh, Lord, Son of David, my daughter is severely demon-possessed." It's a very difficult part of Scripture, because it almost seems like Jesus is being a little cold-hearted, but he looks at her, and I think he's testing her. And he said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Bible says she continued to worship him. And she cried, "Lord, help me." And then Jesus said this, "Is it not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs?" But she's persistent. And then she says, "True, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table." And that's when Jesus said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed that very hour. The example of the Canaanite woman teaches us that a loving and caring mother will not grow weary in the asking of God for anything that her child needs. And God will honor her persistence. Now, what makes the devil tremble in his boots? What shakes the very foundation of hell to its very core? What causes demons to scatter and hide in total panic? Is it the church in revival? Is it some great theologian giving some great sermon? Is it a successful evangelistic outreach or some awesome church building campaign? No. I'll tell you what does. A loving, caring, and compassionate mother on her knees, crying out to God in prayer and supplication for her children. She will reach the very throne room of God, and her powerful prayers will cause Him to move heaven and earth on her behalf. That is what Satan fears the most. A praying mother. There are some people in here today. Some mothers, you've been praying for your children. You've been praying for wayward children. You've been praying for prodigals. You've been praying for those who are not walking the walk, who've gone astray. And there's several in here today. And the Spirit says, be diligent, persevere, remembering the parable of the persistent knocker who knocked and knocked and knocked until the Lord of the house came and answered the door. Your prayers are being heard. You will receive an answer. God is hearing you. You will see it come to pass. Thus saith the Lord. Were I to draw you a picture of love divine, it would not be that of a heavenly image or a stately angel with a form full of grace, but that of a tired and toil-worn mother with a grave and a tender face. It was your mother who loved you before you were born, who carried you for long months close to her heart, and in the fullness of time took God's hand in hers and passed through the valley of shadows to give you life. It was she who lovingly cared for you during the helpless years of infancy and the scarcely less dependent years of childhood. And as you grew less dependent, well, she did the countless thoughtful, trouble-healing, helpful, and encouraging things which somehow only mothers seem to know how to do. And you may have accepted her attentions as just the way things are, or normal family life, and perhaps without any conscious gratitude or any expressions of your appreciation. And then that day comes when you're entirely independent of your mother. But a holy and sacred truth will always remain. The ties with which dependency bound you to her may be severed as you grow older. But the bond of mother love can never be broken. Now, mothers can be more than just a birth mother. In this day and age, in our society, you may call someone mom who may be a stepmom. She may be a foster mother. She may be an adopted mother. She may be like a mother. She may be an other mother. But you know who she is, and you know she's mom. God gives children to people a lot of different ways, sometimes by birth, sometimes by other circumstances. But it's still a bond of mother and child, and it's still sacred, it's still precious. And on this Mother's Day, may each of us honor our mothers with love and respect they so richly deserve. If your mother is no longer with you and has passed over to her eternal reward, find her picture or a sentimental heirloom that reminds you of her, and spend some time thanking God for her life and memory, and meditate upon some joyful memories and times you had with her. Proverbs 10, verse 7 says, "The memory of the just is blessed." Now, if your mother is living, use the opportunities that this special day affords to show her how much you love her and how much she really means to you. Tell her how much you appreciate the sacrifices she's made and all the love and care that she's given you throughout the years. And if you're able to be with her today, take her in your arms. Give her a loving embrace, a kiss, and all that sweet, slurpy, sloppy affection that mothers enjoy. And if she wants to cry a little, well, cry some with her. She's entitled to all that. Today I thank God for my godly heritage. I had a godly mother. She raised me in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And I thank God for mothers everywhere. My mother was a saint. A saint. Years ago, there was a song that was sung by a group called Phillips, Craig, and Dean. The title of the song was Midnight Cry. Not Midnight Cry. That was somebody else. It's called Midnight Oil. That was the title of this song, Midnight Oil. And it went like this. Mama liked to burn the midnight oil down on her knees in prayer. If you ask her why she did it, she said she did it because she cared. Now, Mama always talked to Jesus when she knelt by her rocking chair. Oh, I'm glad my mama was willing to burn the midnight oil in prayer. Godly, faithful, virtuous women of God. Yes. I agree with old Richard Nixon. Yes, indeed. My mother was a saint. Thank God for mothers who are saints. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for mothers everywhere. We thank you for the mothers that are here today in this place and the mothers of this church. Lord, make their day special. Give them a good day with their family, with their children. And if they're not with their children, then let them hear from them today. And Lord, I just pray that this day will just be a day that they can remember fondly. And Lord, I pray for that wayward child, that prodigal, that one, Lord, that is out there that the mother is praying for. Lord, I pray that you do what you do best. Honor your word, fulfill your promise, and meet that prayer. Thank you, Lord, for mothers. Thank you, Lord, for motherhood. Thank you, Lord, for the examples that you give us in your word. Now, Lord, please be with our mothers. Protect them and guide them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
That concludes our study for today. Please join us next time as Pastor Ben continues to teach us verse by verse through the whole Word of God and shows us how God's Word applies to our lives today. For more information about our Cutting Edge Radio Ministry or Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills, you can call us at 910-684-5296 or write to us at P.O. Box 102, Aberdeen, North Carolina, 28315. You can also visit us online at calvarychapelsandhills.com. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you as you seek to know Him more.